Close your eyes and don't try to hide.
Or a silly spook may sit by your side.
Shrouded in a dark disguise.
They pretend to terrorize.
When the ghosts come out to socialize.
Welcome, foolish mortals. You have stumbled into the graveyard and discovered the Grim Grinning Guys Walt Disney World Planning Podcast. We are your ghost hosts this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Craig.
As always, please be calm. The room is not actually stretching. And go ahead and pull down on those safety bars because we will not be doing that for you. Gentlemen, welcome into the graveyard.
Welcome. You sound a little Flemish.
The clamp.
Well, I've been coughing for about a week now, so... yeah, that's been fun. Good start to the new
that
year.
That sounds exciting. Nothing like a good furball.
On snow days from school, you have been sick. So
that's right. That's yeah, we've been snowed in here with Snowmageddon for the last few days.
Yes.
I'm surprised we're all still alive.
Those that live up north, we appreciate you because you know how to deal with this.
We lowly southerners do not. So yes, we have enjoyed, Craig and I have enjoyed a few days off here from the school system. And we have been playing out in the snow.
We have? Well, yes, we have.
Not you and I, but I've been getting out there. This is episode number 24.
Wow. I won't sing any Taylor Swift songs.
Please don't. I mean, you know the number 24. It many say it's a milestone episode.
Oh.
Because we're now as many as there are hours in a day.
I just have a quick question. Will Taylor Swift, will she have another, will her song titles be as cute when she's 72?
That could be funny, actually.
Sorry.
I'm feeling 72.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Sorry to get off topic. It just popped in my head for some reason.
Yes, milestone episode 24. Can you believe we're here, gentlemen?
It has been a fun ride. Enjoyed doing this, guys. I can't believe it's over.
Craig, is there something you forgot to tell us?
Oh, sorry.
Did we forget to pay a bill or something?
Today is January the 22nd, 2018, and we want to start by sharing some answers that we got on Twitter recently. We asked, what is your favorite Magic Kingdom restaurant? As our loyal followers and listeners know, a couple weeks ago, we ranked the 8 Magic Kingdom table service restaurants.
Did you say listeners or listener?
Listeners, Craig. Oh, okay. There are more than one.
Okay.
David V at DVV Calv said, Cinderella's Royal Table. My daughter loves the princesses, and the food is actually really good. Pricey, though. Indeed it is. David, thank you for sharing your answer. Nick said, quick service, Casey's Corner, table service, Liberty Tree Tavern, and Be Our Guest. Full disclosure, he says, I've never eaten at Cinderella's Royal Table or Skipper, but I have to be honest, when I eat at WDW, I don't want frou-frou food. I want big boy food.
Ooh, yes.
Annie Arms says, I've never done a table service at Magic Kingdom. That's incredible.
That is.
But hey,
never.
To each their own. In March, I've got two booked, Crystal Palace Breakfast and Be Our Guest Dinner. Hopefully both will become new favorites.
Wow.
I think they could. I think you're...
Don't think she'll be disappointed
you're
with
picking
either of those.
Those two at the right time. So, and Jackie Cowan says, Liberty Tree Tavern. Tammy Dotson, Columbia Harbor House is a family favorite. Cosmic Rays is good bang for the buck. And Crystal Palace, if they still have Pooh and Tigger.
They do.
It's a staple.
And the budget Disney diva loves the Skipper Canteen. And Robbie Bottoms says Columbia Harbor House.
Yep. Now, some would call Craig a budget Disney diva.
Did really? They? You?
I do.
I don't know that he's a diva.
Well, thank you.
But
I'm did you see where...
just teasing.
Just looking at the different blog, did you see where Mr. Bricker had made a whole blog about Cinderella's Castle and also the...
Be Our Guest. Yes, comparing the two.
And then he said he'd just go to Skipper Canteen.
Well, he's kind of in the same vein as we are.
Yes. I would like to think he listened to our podcast before he put that blog out there.
We'll just go ahead and say he did.
Okay. I was going to say, speaking of listeners, my wife was listening to the episode the other day.
Come on now.
She told me to cut it down because I had it in the car and she couldn't get out.
So. Oh. I was going to say, did she fall and hit her head?
She did have comments, though. We were talking about the the ranking we had, and she agreed the most part for it. So she she liked it. The Epcot episode.
We're doing something right then.
Yeah.
Misty's listening first of all, and then agreeing with us. That's on a whole nother.
Nothing like having your wife trapped in a moving projectile
to enjoy the show. So today we move on to the dining, the table service dining at both Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. As most of you probably know, there's not as many table service dining restaurants at either of these. There's only 4 at Animal Kingdom, 5 at Hollywood Studios. So we're going to do one combined show. We'll rank the 4 Animal Kingdom restaurants and then the 5 table service restaurants at Hollywood Studios. Guys, anything else you want to go over before we dive right in?
I'm ready to eat. Let's go.
Well, we're not going to go to these places, just to remind you.
Yes, Craig. We're not.
Yet.
Oh, I thought we
maybe
were.
Maybe next time.
I thought we were taste testing.
Now, Derek, we've kind of gone back and forth of how we want to rank these, but.
Don't ask Derek.
I know. Do you have an idea for how we should go about doing this?
I do. I think we might have to get some listeners involved. And,
okay.
And we'll call Clint up with his cattle prods.
Okay.
And we can put everybody tattoo. We're going to get some tattoo artists.
Uh huh.
And have them put the name of the restaurants on there. And then the cattle prods, we're just going to run them around town until the last one standing is the winner.
Why does this turn so violent with you, Derek?
First of all, we can't do that because we don't have that many listeners. Second of all...
Craig, do you have any ideas?
I think we just go around the table and suggest, and however it ends up, it ends up.
Hey, guys, don't ask my ideas if you don't want to hear them.
So basically what we've done for the last two Monday episodes...
Why broke what's fixed?
That's perfect.
Fixed?
I think that's how the saying goes.
Hey, I did notice in our last episode, I didn't realize how hard ate and eaten those words.
Yeah,
going in.
I've
eaten there. I've ate eaten. There. It's
and I didn't realize
we've got to work on our English
so much Italian.
So we ain't the grammar police here.
I ate there a whole lot. I like eating there.
Eating.
So we'll do what we did last week with the Epcot table service. Establishments.
If we gotta.
I believe we will read the description of the restaurant and the rest of us will try to guess, which it's not going to be as hard as Epcot because there's not 17 to pick from. Derek, let's start with you. Number 4 at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And let's not lose sight of the goal here. This is to help you plan and make reservations at the best restaurants for you and your family. And as we've said the last couple of weeks, what we rank low, you may really enjoy. So, Derek, number 4.
You may do it, didn't you? And this one here is, it's got to be number 4 when talking about the Animal Kingdom. I'm just not real fond of this place. I won't get into
this.
Is
this your description?
Sorry.
This Walt Disney World.
This isn't what Disney World says about this.
We're not very fond of this place.
Sorry. Everybody gets a fair shot here in the graveyard. American-style eats with a tropical twist await travelers who journey into this dense animal-filled jungle. Gather your party of explorers on a trek into the Amazon where you'll dine in the company of animated animals to the sounds of thunderclaps and sudden rainstorms.
Thunderclap.
Thunder.
Is it Thunderclap Thunderdome?
I would say
that's a terrible name of a restaurant.
It would be Rainforest Cafe.
Ding, 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 ding.
That was a tough one.
And why have you ranked it last?
To me, it's just a chain. They've got one in Nashville, so we've eaten there, and I'm looking for something a little more different, but not too different, you know?
It may not be viewed that way if you don't live close to Rainforest Cafe.
Right.
But since we do, it's old hat.
But I think, Rainforest Cafe being the chain that it is, I think a lot of us, when we go to Disney World, we're looking for unique dining experiences,
right.
Things you can't find anywhere else. Now, that being said, Rainforest Cafe is a very immersive experience, from what I recall. I ate there many years ago in Nashville, but there's also one down at Disney Springs.
And I have eaten there.
I almost said Downtown Disney. So,
well, you would still call it Downtown Disney because you haven't even set
foot on there. So you've eaten at the one at Disney Springs.
I have. And it's about like the one in Nashville, so... I guess they got that going for them.
Rainforest Cafe to me is more like a Chuck E. Cheese. So, it's just kind of like, it's a neat atmosphere. The food's decent, but it's just not.
And there's a giant
Disney.
And there's a giant mouse running around. Oh, wait, that's
Chuck E. Cheese.
That's all throughout Disney World.
Yes.
I think it is a place, though, that a lot of times it's relatively easy to just walk up on the day of and get a table.
Right.
So if you're wanting a sit-down meal and don't have a reservation, maybe Rainforest Cafe can fill the gap.
And they do now offer breakfast, so that's a positive thing.
Ooh.
But the last time I was there.
Do they have a tropical rainstorm omelet?
Where do you come up with these questions?
Number three.
I bet they got like those drinks like Sonic has it or Sunrise.
They have a Route 44?
No.
Number three, travelers can relax and replenish with a Pan-Asian feast in this beautiful Nepalese-style restaurant.
Yak and Yeti.
Yak and Yeti.
You're kidding me.
I am not. Sorry. No.
Oh, my goodness.
Yak and Yeti. No. So, Craig, full disclosure, I've never eaten here.
I was going to rank Yak and Yeti first.
Well, I'm so sorry. I've never eaten a Yak and Yeti. It's on. I want to get around to it. But given the other options, I think I would probably choose the what's remaining.
Our friend first. Josh has ranked it number one.
Has he?
Yes. I'm looking in his site right now. Best food, Yak and Yeti.
Well, everyone makes mistakes.
Oh, my goodness.
I guess I'm the one making the mistake here.
Have you ever ate at Yak and Yeti?
No, I've eaten at the Yak and Yeti quick service.
There I go.
I have never eaten at Yak and Yeti. I've eaten at the quick service establishments, which I know is a completely different thing. But again, most of the time we go to Animal Kingdom. Really, we eat quick service mostly in Animal Kingdom. Rarely do we have a table service meal because we enjoy the quick service restaurant so much. So Yak and Yeti is just not one that I've gotten around to trying, and it's not just I'm not super eager to go there. I know both of you have eaten there, and Craig, as you said, you rave about it. So what do you like about Yak and Yeti?
It was our family and the Martins, who we travel with quite a bit to Disney, and everybody found something they liked. And that's rare at most of your restaurants. Yeah. All the food, there was nothing that came across there that was not good. My wife got the salmon, I believe it was. I got barbecue. My daughter got ribs. I mean, it was just everybody had a sampling of a little. Somebody even in the group, I think, had a steak. But everything there was very good. The appetizers were really good. I rave about it because it ranks up there with Ohana. I mean,
That's high praise.
It's just very good food. The atmosphere is really neat. Of course, everything at Animal Kingdom, the way they kind of theme everything out, they just go overboard at Animal Kingdom, I think, to give that atmosphere. But the food was just, I thought, was really good. And like reading Josh's article here, they're consistently good is what he says. Of course, I haven't ate there nearly as much as Josh, but he said it's consistently good. Every time you go there, you get a good meal. So, you know, if you plan on going somewhere and you want it to be a one-time experience, that's probably a good place to go. So that's why I would rank it higher. But again, that's why we're doing this, having fun with it. It is what it is.
And I enjoy it also. But again, there's only four restaurants, so it's got to...
You're right.
It's not
down the list.
It's not a stiff competition.
It made the top three.
It's better than poor old Spice Road, who ended up 17th. I mean, at least in the top four.
I really enjoy the decor at Yak and Yeti. I was pleasantly surprised when we have eaten there that now you've got us all thinking about it. That the decor is as good as it is for a non-Disney restaurant.
Right.
Non-Disney owned restaurant. So I was thoroughly impressed with it. And we got to sit where the windows were so we could overlook the walkways. And that was a really neat experience just to be able to people watch and look down on people again.
I know the windows you're talking of. I've walked by. I think I actually saw you looking down and waving to people. I think it's hard to go wrong with any dining at Animal Kingdom. I know there's a couple of misses here and there, but as far as table service, quick service, you're not going to run into a lot of bad choices in Animal Kingdom theme park.
And again, we say this on every episode as far as the table services, but do take time not just to eat but experience everything in the restaurant, because every restaurant has – Disney just does things well, and theming their restaurants is one of the best things they do, my opinion, is because they add so much to the dining. It's not just the meal. The meal is a big part of it, but like Derek says – when I make a reservation somewhere I'm going to go eat, I'm worried about the food. That's true, but also the theming of it is very important, and Disney does a great job with that. So experience all that.
Well, there's only two left, Craig. And today, Craig, you get to decide.
For the first time.
What will be number two and number one, essentially.
I think,
number two.
I think you guys will agree with me, but we'll take a shot here. Seek and you will find a treasure trove of mouth-watering delights from far-off places for lunch and dinner. Roam the road less traveled at this place, thanks to a globe-trotting menu of artfully prepared fare fit for a weary traveler. Begin your expedition with roasted beets and burrata, grilled octopus, or, for those who like to travel light, an apple-walnut salad. Go off the beaten track with our own signature bread service or house-made... I can't even pronounce that. What do you think?
Tiffin's.
Tiffin's.
It is Tiffin's. Are y'all on track with that one?
I think so.
We ate there recently, all three of us.
Yes.
And it was very good.
Portion control.
We actually had octopus too, didn't we?
We did have some of the octopus.
And it was yeah, portion control. It is probably a higher-end restaurant.
It is signature dining.
It's not what you would... think of taking the kids and them raving about the, you know, it's a higher end, but the food was very good, I thought.
It's not something you would typically find in a theme park. I mean, it's very, very high end, very elegant, very, very good food. We got the lunch portions because we didn't want to break the bank, but it's a pricey, but you're paying for very good cuisine, and I like the theming of it. You know, we went there for lunch during a hot day, and it was a great respite from the heat.
I think Tiffin's, along with all the other, we could pick out restaurants from all the other parks if we wanted to make it like a list of high end, nice anniversary type places to go.
And it's
this
up there.
This would be one of them. You know, location's probably not and like a California Grill where you can overlook everything, but the food is right up there with everything else as far as your high end, and if you want a really, really nice meal. This is probably one of the choices for you.
Derek, thoughts on Tiffin's?
I do enjoy the fine dining.
Of course you do.
But you enjoy any dining.
Well, that's beside the point.
So, Derek, what are you ranking number one?
I guess we can run down the rank real quick.
Recap the list.
Recap the list because it's a long one. Number four is Rainforest Cafe. At the park entrance, so you can get in there without actually going into the park, but you cannot exit into the park without a park ticket.
Unless you're with Craig and he can sneak you in.
Number three, Yak and Yeti. Number two, Tiffin's. That would leave number one as join Safari Donald Duck and friends at this colorful Harambe Marketplace eatery for a wild character dining experience, regardless of the time of day. From breakfast and lunch to the family-style dinner buffet, all brimming with African flavor.
Tusker House.
Good guess, Matthew.
And much to my dismay, a buffet has won again.
Can you believe that? At Epcot and now at Animal Kingdom, a buffet has won.
Nothing like a good buffet.
Does that say something about the way we eat?
I mean, get as much as you want.
It is a good buffet. I would actually leave and go and eat at MoMA than to eat at Tusker House.
Really?
I would.
Well, that's just a
hassle. Sorry, we're not into resorts here, but resort dining.
But they do have the jungle juice, the Pog juice at Tusker House.
What does that... Should that mean something?
It's fantastic.
They have it at the MoMA passion also, fruit, right?
Well, yeah, but you don't have to leave the park to go get it.
But Craig, they have the zebra domes.
We've all eaten. Oh, that's true. We've all eaten at Tusker House, correct?
Correct. I thought it was good food. Again, it's a buffet, so you can pick and choose what you want. And it is a character meal, too.
Yes.
So that
the only character meal in Animal Kingdom.
Right. So that's naturally going to be one that a lot of people pick when they go to Animal Kingdom as one of their tops because the characters, probably a lot of the same characters. It's Mickey and Donald, and I think is Goofy there.
Mickey, Donald, Goofy, and Daisy.
Right, and they're all dressed in their safari gear.
Yes.
So it's a good restaurant, good meal. I think it deserves a one or two for sure.
Yeah, and like BOMA, it's good as far as you can get safe food, you know, stuff that's not too exotic, but also try and sample some new things. We went there for dinner on a recent trip, and boy, I had some shrimp that was, it will light you up. It was pretty, pretty intense. I've also been there for breakfast. Nothing... I mean, it's your, from what I recall, your basic Disney buffet breakfast. But the dinner was really good. It offered a lot of unique things. And
like I said, it's like the other places at Epcot. It's going to be a preference of taste of what you like. If you don't like this type of food, Tusker House will not be your number one choice. I mean, and that's why I kind of went back to Yak and Yeti, because Yak and Yeti had a choice for everybody to eat. But Tusker House, like I said, great food, good characters. I think it, you know, 1, 2, and 3 right there all together. There's only four restaurants, but 1, 2, and 3 can be interchangeable.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And we're not having the trouble of too many restaurants at Animal Kingdom. I think they could add a few more, really. And be fairly safe. I think the popularity of Pandora is increasing the numbers at the park, so maybe that's something they'll look into in the future.
I think the quick service dining at Animal Kingdom is so strong. You know, that I think a lot of people find themselves going there more than they do looking for that sit down meal. So Animal Kingdom, that pretty much does it, guys. Anything else about Animal Kingdom dining?
I think if we broke into the lunches as well, I mean the quick service, that there's a lot of choices there.
Oh yeah, that'll be a good episode when we get to that one.
But as far as table service, you're kind of limited.
I can't wait till we review Restaurantosaurus.
Well, and you know, thinking about it, your table service too, as most, if you think about it, there's probably not as many restaurants there because the park stays open later now, but it used to close early. So a lot of people aren't eating dinner there anyway. So that's probably why you're kind of limited on table service as it is.
Good point. Okay, Matt, so do you think there's any, as with the other two parks, are there any that need to be made at 180 days?
Any reservations that need to be made? At 180 days, Tusker House, probably, out of any of them?
That would be true for any character.
It's the only character meal in the park. If you're wanting one of those 8 a.m. breakfast reservations before the park opens, then you'll want to do that at 180 days. But it's not too difficult to score a dinner reservation or a lunch reservation at Tusker House after that. The most challenging reservation there is if you're wanting to get a Rivers of Light dining package with Tusker House. It's relatively easy to get them with Tiffin's. The thing with Rivers of Light is they release their schedule so sporadically. We were going to try to do that, being on the dining plan, and it seemed like I was checking every day, and as pretty much as whenever they put them out, those Rivers of Light packages were gone, and we weren't able to get one through Tusker House. Other than that, it's relatively easy to secure, I think, any of those.
I would agree with that, and especially probably Tiffin's, just due to the fact that it's signature dining.
So we're going to get on the bus now and
get
drive
on the bus,
over
Gus.
To... All right. Paul Simon, make a new plan, Stan. We're going to drive on over to Hollywood Studios and rank the 5, not 4, but 5 table service restaurants at Hollywood Studios.
Can we take the express over to
No, they've closed that down. Express transportation.
Call the minivan.
Shut down. We'll go ahead and jump right into it. There are 5. I'll start here. Number 5, meet Disney Junior characters during a memorable breakfast buffet, or Minnie and friends at seasonal dining parties.
Hollywood and Vine.
Ding, ding, ding. It is Hollywood and Vine. Now, let me say this. We ate here for the first time on our recent trip. We thoroughly enjoyed it. It was Minnie's Christmas holiday and dine. I can't think of the exact name of it. But you go in, and as soon as you go in, you get to take a picture with Santa Goofy. Can't go wrong there. And then you got Minnie, Mickey, Donald, and Daisy coming around in their Christmas attire, which, depending on the season of the year that you go, that's obviously going to change. We love the character aspect of it. The food was really good. Nothing that really stood out. I mean, I ate a bunch of fried shrimp, but you can do that at a lot of places. The desserts were fabulous, the Christmas desserts. So I say that's this. I don't think you can go wrong with really, I don't think any of the table service dining restaurants at Hollywood Studios are bad. This is number 5 for me. But I would go there again in a heartbeat.
And I'm just glad a buffet is not winning.
The buffet is not going to win, Derek. I made you happy. Go ahead and get rid of that. Have either of you been to Hollywood and Vine?
I have not. I think we planned on doing it last time and it didn't work out. We didn't make it over there.
I've not, because until this time it was generally Disney Junior characters.
Yes.
And when I've been, and I have no interest in any of those characters.
And I think now only breakfast has the Disney Junior character. The one thing they didn't have on the buffet, gentlemen, was cabbage.
Ding, 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 ding.
And I was really wanting some
cabbage. There's the word of the day.
That is always a disappointment.
You probably could have asked for it. Probably could have. On the George Foreman, they could fix you some cabbage.
Number four, Craig Shelton.
All right. I would say dine in an authentic replica of this place, a Tinseltown landmark steeped in glamour and glitz. The walls are adorned in with caricatures of famous faces, a tradition that began with the original restaurant. And the upscale atmosphere harkens back to the golden age of Hollywood.
A tradition unlike any other.
The Masters.
Is it the Hollywood Brown Derby?
It is. And like I said, I hated to rank it there, but I've never eaten there, and I wouldn't rank it above these other ones.
Derek, have you eaten there?
I have not, but I would
have. I have not either.
I would have ranked it higher because it sounds good.
But guys, that's just where I kind of think it is, because I haven't eaten there, but I think when you rank it with all these other ones, it's probably one of the less popular of the other ones. So that's kind of why I ranked it there. Somebody may disagree with that, one of our listeners, and that's fine, and it may be your favorite place to eat, and I look forward to eating there maybe next time I go.
Just from the reviews I've read about it, again, it's another signature dining. I think it is one of the more kid-friendly signature dining places to me, just from pictures I've seen and reviews I've read. So for me, I would rank it a little bit higher, but again, with only five restaurants, you got to whittle.
Well, the thing with all this is there's so many things you have to take into account. You know, signature dining, a lot of times, is not going to immediately jump out the families because it's pricey, because it's not really geared toward little ones. And so you have to take that into account. Along with another things. But as I said, I don't think you can go wrong table service dining at Hollywood Studios, either because of the cuisine or because of the theming, which we'll talk about in just a minute, I'm sure.
Which one I'm trying to remember off the top of my head is the Fantasmic package.
You can do it at Hollywood and Vine, Hollywood Brown Derby, and Mama Melrose.
So the last two we've listed go along with the Fantasmic package too. So I knew that one of those was connected, if not both of those, and I just was going to mention that.
And we can spend a lot of time talking about the Fantasmic package. We used it recently for Hollywood and Vine, and showed up 20 minutes before the show and had a great seat. So that's a whole other perk to going to one of those.
We use it with Mama Melrose is where we used it.
And those are a lot easier to get than the Rivers of Light reservations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, so that leads to me with the number three.
Number three.
This one here would probably be my number five.
Oh, say it ain't so.
Honestly, below the buffet, unfortunately, but sorry, I can't believe it's still here, but pull up in a car-shaped booth or table and chow down at our drive-in, playing thrilling, chilling sci-fi scenes.
That's got to be sci-fi?
It is. It's
sci-fi dine-in theater.
And again, in all honesty, this has been the worst meal I've had in park.
Really?
Was here. Of course, I got pasta.
Well, there's your first mistake.
Was it heavy on the pesto?
It was very heavy on pesto. And I don't mind pesto, but it was almost revolting.
Sissy made that mistake once. Lots of pesto that was on that pasta.
The saving grace was the Oreo milkshake.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with the milkshakes.
It was probably one of the best milkshakes I've had on property, but I like sci-fi stuff, but I don't like that old sci-fi stuff. So the little movies, it's neat to sit in the cars and kind of throw food from behind.
Is that what you're doing?
Well, they'd probably be happy if I kept it in my own car, but...
Oh, me. That may be why you don't like it.
It is one of those things you need to experience one time. And for me, again, I mentioned this on a previous episode. When I think of table service, I think of dining. I think of dinner. And sci-fi is more one of those, a quick service in my mind. It costs you table service no matter when you eat. But to me, it's more like a quick service as far as, because it's a lunch, it's hamburgers and french fries and milkshakes, those type of things. Even though you may have got the pasta, I think that's where I'd rank it, or rank it even lower, just simply because it doesn't rank as high for me as a sit down dinner.
Yeah. I would rank this personally. I'd rank it first. I love sci-fi dining. My wife loves it. She wants to go there just for the milkshakes. They have really good fries. I think I got a salmon BLT, which was really good. But if you're not on the dining plan, it's a good value for a sit-down meal. It doesn't cost nearly as much as some of these other options. And I think it's one of the best themed restaurants in Walt Disney World.
If I'm not mistaken, you can't just get a milkshake there either.
I don't
I don't think
we do
so.
Know a place that's on this list, though. You can.
Yeah, we tried to stop by there, and I asked them if we could get a milkshake, and they said no, you gotta have a reservation.
Yeah,
but I love Sci-Fi Dining Theater. I could go there every time I go to Hollywood Studios and be happy with it, but that's just me. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
It is. It is. And if you have kids, that's probably going to rank higher on yours. Yeah. I mean, we all have kids, but I'm talking about if you have younger kids, that it's a neat experience for those kids, and the movies and the car hop come in and all those things.
I think the next thing they need to do is to add, just to add to the atmosphere, is to turn the thermostat up to like 90 degrees.
And add more pesto.
So you get that full outdoor effect.
And maybe throw some flies in there and some mosquitoes.
Yep. Have some flypaper hanging from your windshield.
And the car speaker where it just doesn't pick up that
and
clear.
It's all crackly.
Yeah.
What's going on? Number two.
That would
so
be
I
you.
Guess I'll determine two and one. Mangia in the back lot of Disney's Hollywood Studios at this casual but colorful Italian eatery with a California twist.
You pick Mama Melrose.
Mama Melrose.
Mm.
I thought you'd agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, both of them are good. They're both tough. I love both of them.
Yeah, Mama Melrose is where we went the first time we went to Hollywood Studios. Loved it. I know we went there with the Newsoms for lunch one time. It's a great option, especially on the Fantasmic dining package. And it's kind of tucked away, back away. I mean, it's in the back corner of Hollywood Studios now.
Next to Pizza Rizzo.
Yeah, that will change once Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens. But I enjoy Mama Melrose. It's a really relaxed place to eat. Had some really good chicken parm. It's a fun place.
How do you think it compares to, say, Tony's?
I think it's way better than Tony's.
Do you?
I think it's just a less stressful. When I think of Tony's, I think of people packed in like sardines, and when I think of Mama Melrose, it's not nearly that chaotic. I think it's just nicer. I think the food is better. The food seems fresher. And more authentic to Italian.
I would compare it more to Via Napoli.
Would you?
Yep. I think it's more of a sit down family type atmosphere, and the food is. I thought the food was really good. We ate there a couple years ago and had appetizers and main course and desserts and everything. It was really good. I thought, and I think we had that with a Fantasmic package. So,
I enjoyed it when we've eaten there. So, I just wondered your thoughts on how it compared.
I think that's another reason to put it above Sci-Fi, is because it offers the Fantasmic package.
Absolutely. And it's, if you want to see the show without using a Fast Pass, that's a great way to do it.
Yep. So, Craig, what is your number one?
It's tough because
at Hollywood Studios.
This list I'm looking at, it's hard to figure out which one is number one now. But do we want Derek to run down what we have so far?
A quick recap again here. Number 5, Hollywood and Vine. Number 4, Hollywood Brown Derby should be number 2. Number 3, Sci-Fi Dining should be number 5.
Wrong.
Number 2
should be number 1.
Number 2, Mama Melrose. I'm okay with it.
You're supposed to read that, not tell your own.
Oh, sorry. Yes. I was adding some anecdotes in there.
Okay, number 1.
You and your anecdotes.
Number 1, it's a blast from the past when you walk into this all-American eatery theme like Mom's Kitchen. Bring your appetite and your sense of humor, because Mom and the extended family aren't above giving you lessons in table etiquette and doling out punishment to misbehaving boys and girls.
I really like the way you read that, Craig.
Thanks.
What could it be?
Is it
50s?
40s? Shame time?
50s, prime time. Does 50 Cent, is he sponsor? Actually true
he's
owner?
A true sponsor, yeah.
I don't. Well, 50s. He probably had to sell it. I think he's bankrupt.
50s prime time.
He had to sell it, or Le Cellier.
All right, 50s prime time is a. If you've never eaten there before, it's a neat little restaurant. You walk in, and it is. You do sit in Mom's kitchen, and Mom gives you a hard time about keeping your elbows off the table and be sure you clean your plate, so on and so forth. But it's good food, good homely like food as far as home cooked meals.
Homely, like ugly.
Maybe homely is not good. Not a good description.
Homey.
Fried chicken and things like that. Pot roast, very good food. And the milkshakes are phenomenal. So,
old peanut butter and jelly.
I think number one serves it. There's several options for number one here, as Derek alluded to. But I think this is a good choice for number one, guys.
I like it. I like this is by far my favorite restaurant there. But if you do have small children that don't do well with being scolded or...
Don't go there?
Yeah, I would not recommend
it. Then I don't need to go. Bruin would not enjoy that.
Honestly, I think the servers could make children cry sometimes.
Yeah, you said discipline earlier. I was like, what are they doing to these kids? This is another one I've not been to. It is kind of on my next to-do. Yeah, and I let it have the number one spot. But I think I gave it a nod just because I have been to the Tune-In Lounge, which is where you can pop in and order those milkshakes. I've had a peanut butter and jelly, the classic peanut butter and jelly milkshake there, and a red velvet milkshake at the Tune-In Lounge. And, man, those milkshakes alone are worth putting this at number one. But just looking at the pictures of it here, I want to go and try the fried chicken, even the meatloaf. I would probably give it a shot.
Yes, you would get the sampler plate, probably.
Of course.
And this is Rachel's, my wife's, one and only. This is her favorite fried chicken. She liked it better. She likes the fried chicken here better than at Homecoming.
Wow. So it's got good food, good atmosphere, very well themed, as you said, Craig. Mm-hmm. I mean, it looks awesome. 50s primetime, number one.
Number one, where it should be.
Where it should be.
Yep, right where it should be. It
should be number one.
Unlike sci-fi or...
It should be number two, right below sci-fi.
Brown Derby.
Sci-fi probably needs to be retrofitted.
But I think there's something for everyone at Hollywood Studios. You've got 50s primetime, which has great cuisine and great theming. You got Mama Melrose, which is awesome Italian food and kind of a relaxed atmosphere. Sci-fi, which maybe the cuisine isn't the greatest, but the theming is perfect. You got the signature dining with Hollywood Brown Derby, and then you got the characters over at Hollywood and Vine. So something for everyone in this theme park when it comes to table service dining.
Everybody should be covered. I would say the table service is better than the quick service here. Unlike at Animal Kingdom, where the quick service is probably about equal to the...
Yeah. Yeah, you quick service at Hollywood Studios is blah, not something you want to mess with.
180 days out. There's probably a couple here at least that you would want to go ahead and book. I think sci-fi
early as possible.
Yeah, because it feels harder pretty quick. And I don't know if 50s primetime, you shouldn't book it pretty early.
You don't have to.
You don't have to?
No, I've found those pretty easily.
Okay. I think with the Hollywood and Vine, the lunch and dinner with Minnie and all of them, it fills up faster. Especially, and again, with the Fantasmic dining packages, if you want to do that at Hollywood and Vine, that's probably your priority one.
I agree.
All right.
So hopefully throughout these last 3 weeks, this series, we've given you some help, some insight into picking the right sit-down meals for you in all four of the Disney theme parks. And as always, feel free to chime in on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Disagree with us, agree with us. We'd love to hear your feedback and share it on air here in a future episode.
A little bit easier task at these two places as compared to Epcot or...
Epcot was daunting.
Magic Kingdom.
You know what it's time for, gentlemen?
For the show to end?
No.
Oh.
It's time for... Grim...
Grinning
greatness.
Yes. Grim grinning greatness. That's it. And today it is my turn to ask the question. And, you know, Hollywood Studios, guys, it gets a lot of hate because there's not much left.
Haters gonna hate.
That's right, Craig. Haters are indeed going to hate, in the words of Taylor Swift, right?
Yes.
And so my question to you all is, given all the attractions, rides, and closures that have happened at Hollywood Studios in recent years, what one thing that was taken away would you like to have back? What one ride, show, attraction, restaurant, anything that has been taken from Hollywood Studios would you want to return? What was your favorite that has gone?
That's odd you asked that question, because before you got here, Derek was just saying something about one of the places at during pre-show. He was talking about it. Well, Mr. Dotson, since you got that, you get to go first.
I am going to say the studio backlot tour.
Oh, that was mine.
That's good. I had almost forgotten about that.
The 30-minute tram ride through different scenes and props. And it maybe wasn't a 30-minute ride, but it was a 30-minute experience. I love the backlot tour. It was one of those classic Hollywood studio attractions. You could go there any time of the day and have a pretty
pretty short wait. And I love the Studio Backlot Tour. I know it was dated. I know they hadn't really updated a lot of things, but I was sad to see it go. So the Studio Backlot Tour, it's my favorite Disney thing that's now gone at Hollywood Studios. So what about you, Craig?
Well, I was going to say Lights, Motor, Action, but probably that's better from the environment that that's gone.
Yeah.
I can't remember how many tires they said they went through it a year with that place. That was a neat show. I hadn't been back since they removed this, but I think I'm really going to miss the Great Movie Ride. I mean, that was just... I'm going to hate that not being there. I hope the new Mickey ride is going to be phenomenal and just as good, but I don't... It's just...
It's not going to be Hollywood.
It's not. It's just one of those mainstays that kind of sticks with you.
Well, I believe the Great Movie Ride, Craig, is what you awarded the cranberry sauce can of honor to, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
So,
let's see. So, sad.
So, Derek, we miss the Studio Backlot Tour. We miss the Great Movie Ride. What about you?
I think I'm going to have to go with the eating place and say... The writer's stop. I went in there a few times, and it was always quiet. They had the carrot cake cookie. Of course, they've just moved that, but it was just a nice away from the hustle and bustle of everything else in Hollywood Studios. So I really miss that quietness. And
yeah, I think all the things we've mentioned that kind of speak to old classic Hollywood in a way. And that aspect of Hollywood Studios is sadly kind of just being taken away.
Which makes you wonder if the name doesn't change.
Yeah, there's rumors and rumblings that they're going to change it to something random. But who knows? We'll see.
A land far, far away was probably...
Disney's Hollywood Galaxy's Edge. I really miss the streets of America, too. Just being able to wander around the streets.
See, we could go in all day.
Osborne Lights!
Yes!
Oh, man.
But that was seasonal, so that was...
That's true.
That's a question we need to ask. What do you miss most from Hollywood Studios?
What do you miss from Hollywood Studios? We'll put that out there. We got a lot of questions we need to put out there.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I think that does it from here in the graveyard. Any final thoughts or comments?
Another good show. Be sure, again, we encourage you to go follow us on Podbean. That helps us out, moves us up the list, lets more people know about the Grim Grinning Guys. Tell your friends, download our episodes, follow us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. Email us. Email us any question you have or some future episodes you'd like to see us do. We're here for you.
Listen up this Thursday as we have a special game episode coming back. It's game night in the graveyard. Yes, it's returning. So make sure you join us Thursday. Doesn't that excite you, boys?
What are you talking about? You won it last time, Derek.
I think it is by default.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Well, all I had to do was say something close to what you said. I had it,
until so. You come back for that game episode, be sure to...
Beware the hitchhiking ghosts.
And hurry back.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back, we would like your company.
We are your ghost hosts for this evening. I'm Matt.
I'm Derek.
Sorry, Derek.
What'd I do?
You looked like that right before you said Derek. I'm Craig.
The topic of the day, last week we covered Epcot.
Was that really loud?
The topic of the day. Hi, kids.